Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen, Dennis Dick with you as always on today's show. We're talking about the weird 24-hour merger saga involving Willis Towers and AON. First it was, then it definitely was, and now it's not. So we're going to talk about what happened yesterday in those two stocks. We also have some interesting earnings today. NEO giving back some of those recent gains. We have Abercrombie and Fitch. We have Ross Stores, Urban Outfitters, Dollar Tree as well. We're going to talk about yesterday's volatility in GE. And we'll take your questions from our chats, both on YouTube and premarket.benzinga.com. Today's guest joining us at 8:35 is Rachel Shasha. We reached out to her after her call that she made a while back on our show on Children's Place. Her short call came home to roost, so we'll talk. See if she has another good idea for us when she comes on at 8:35. She's an options trader, sassyoptions.com there. Joel, what's the word here in the overnight sessions? Quiet.
Yeah, well, we got some red on the screen here, Spencer. We had some buying balances. I thought I saw some big buying balances on the close. They might have flipped at the last second because you had some big selling going on near the close. The mark on the print for the close is 90.50. But 91.50, that's a double close. We couldn't even see that in pre-market trading. Pre-market high, 89 even. So let's just call 27.91.50, that double close, big resistance. On the downside, we took out Tuesday's low, but nothing exciting there. Went to 80.81.50. Below that, we have the Monday's low at 67.50. But frankly, this market doesn't want to go up or down here, kind of get nice and tight and wound up ahead of the jobs number on Friday. We also have crude in the red by 60 cents. They didn't like the data that came out Tuesday at 4:30, so hit crude a little bit. Still kind of in a trading range, folks. If you want to keep an eye on some daily lows, pair of lows at 55.02 and 55.08, that's back from the end of February. Gold finally stopped its major losing streak. I believe it was 6 days. A little double bottom to lean on there. 12.88 even, up 3.30. Silver into green, too, by just 3 cents at 15.13 and a half. Well, guys, we don't have a lot of big news items to cover today, but boy, oh, boy, if you're trading either AON or WLTW, man, you were in for some crazy action.
Yeah, there's getting some movement there. Just want to start with, have you ever had one of those days where you should have slept in?
Chat. Every one of those days you should have slept in.
As a trader, you have those days a lot of times. Anyways, my kids were up early this morning, so I usually don't get started until after, usually around 7 o'clock I get started trading down here. But I came down and started trading around 6:30 this morning, so about a half an hour before, and I was like, oh, I got a lot of stuff moving against me, working out of trades. I was like, oh, GE's working for me, though, so I start covering some GE, and you start doing some other things, and then I look at, all where all these trades are now, and if I would have just started the day right now at 8 o'clock, I would be doing a lot better than I currently am. So GE's trading down significantly. I had it short from the two-day move. I love the two-day move. That was a move that was out of the norm. So I usually think there's follow through the next day. I think there's a headline and some analyst commentary, which is, more of the catalyst here. But that being said, stock is down 3.7% in the pre-market. But I came in at 6:30 and was trading 966, 967. I was like, well, that's a pretty good move. And you're coming now, it's 9:53, and you're like, so I covered it, obviously, in the 6:30 handle, and are talking at like 9:67, a little bit too early. And then I had some longs on Sarepta, and I covered those too early. It was 144 pricing, was buying that, and below the price, because Usually these things trade back up to it. It's not quite back up there, but it did almost get back up there in the 7 o'clock candle. It's just one of those days where Qualcomm was another one I had overnight. It was ex-dividend. You know how I like to do the dividend capture strategies there that I do. QCOM was trading just slightly up, and I was like, okay, market's down. It's slightly up. There's a little bit of, you know, money there. And about 20 minutes later, the thing's trading up 30, 40 cents. Now it's come back in as well. But it's just one of those days. Sometimes you just got to, like, you know, not trade early. Moral of the story is sleep in.
Kenny R. wants to get to the important stuff. What stock
Kenny R. commodity? Stop talking about your sleeping habits.
Yeah, what did you dream about last night?
Bitcoin. What did I dream about last night? Did my Bitcoin dream work out? I remember yesterday I said I dreamt that Bitcoin went to 4,400 and a Bitcoin was at 37. Did Bitcoin go up yesterday?
No. I don't even know. You know what? Bitcoin it doesn't go up or down.
It doesn't move. Yeah, it did. It's 38.98. It did go up yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Well, look, yep. My dream's coming to fruition here.
Yeah. Well, okay.
That'd be awesome if you could, like, just dream stuff up and then it actually came true. That'd be pretty cool.
That's a great book, The Lathe of Heaven. Highly recommend
it. You want to make the journal that way instead of, like, selling the low of the day or buying the high of the day.
Low of the day on a lot of stocks, Joel, over my trading career. Anyways, let's go to this other news. I digress into my dreams here. We don't want to start going digressing into my dreams. So news headline yesterday, right before the open, is that AON is pursuing a deal to buy WLTW. And you can see on that headline yesterday morning, WLTW blasts off, goes up to $187.91. AON gets slaughtered because we know they don't like companies who are buying other companies. So they destroy AON, basically giving back almost half of its gains from 2019. You know, this is a stock that's usually somewhat fairly conservative, but they decide to knock 15 points off of it because they might be pursuing a deal to buy WLTW. Well, this morning, AON comes out and says, what do they say, Mr. Spencer, Israel?
No, let's back up to yesterday. So yesterday, Bloomberg reports that, yes, AON is considering an acquisition here, or they're in the early stages of talking about a potential merger with Willis Towers here. That was, like you said, right at the open. Later on in the afternoon, AON shares were halted. AON comes out with a statement at around 1 o'clock, or actually it was maybe like 1:30, 1:40. It said, yes, correct, Bloomberg. We are in the early stages of considering an all-share combination with Willis Towers. That was yesterday afternoon. Fast forward to this morning, AON releases another statement that says, oh, yeah, we're not doing that anymore.
We're no longer pursuing it. Yeah. So they changed their mind in the last 24 hours, apparently, and they're not pursuing the deal. You know, my theory on this, and this is just theories.
This is pure theory. This doesn't represent $3 billion. Zynga. This, go ahead, Dennis.
This is a theory. They watched $3 billion get taken off their market cap yesterday that they might be pursuing this deal, and they're like, ugh, we better not pursue this deal. The market doesn't like it. Because it fell 15 points yesterday, and now all of a sudden they're not pursuing the deal. And now it's all the way back up to $166. So I guess it was good that they weren't pursuing it because back up 6%. WLTW is all the way back to where it was before this potential deal was announced. But it looks like it's dead. $171.50. Actually, it's trading below a little bit where it was when this potential deal was announced. I think it closed the day at $172. So anyways, WLTW gets it all back. AON gets most of it back. Not all of it back. They're punishing a little bit for them even thinking about doing that deal.
All right. I don't know. I'm trying to phrase this question here. We won't make a wager on it, but Willis Towers Watson, does that their Irish domicile global multinational risk management? Does that sound familiar to you at all, Dennis?
Yeah, the Watson Wyatt building. Is that the same?
I think so.
Southfield?
Yeah.
That's where Bright Train, that's where me and Joel met, was the Watson Wyatt building in Southfield back in 1999.
Yeah,
that's where we started with Bright Trading. You opened that office. When did you open it? January 99 or 98?
98, late 98.
I joined in 1999. The young little college buck out of university. That, you know what I did right back then, Joel? I slept in a lot.
And I used to get very upset with you when you showed up at 9:29 and 29 seconds.
Yeah, you'd always say, like, the afternoon shift is here. Yeah. You know what? I did good back then. Maybe I should start sleeping in more. I sleep until 9:29.
What's that? 9:29. I'd have to stay up till 5 in the morning in order to sleep in that late. But the only thing I want to say about this WLTW, and I think this is just a general comment, some theme that we kind of been pounding into people's head, is a lot of times when these deals or pseudo deals are announced, sometimes that's when you get your best pricing. You know, if you're chasing, I remember Allergan, I remember, you know, a couple that, you know, they hit these huge levels, and then the more things go on. So if you're buying on these kind of rumors and stuff, boy, oh boy, you want to see something happen very, very, very quickly to get your best pricing. Obviously now in WLTW, it's going to be a hard time unless someone else reemerges with a bid, but just got to keep that in mind. Don't chase, and man, think about when you see those.
Sometimes things. Selling on rumor is the best play you can do.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. That's been happening here. I don't know. It just seems it's been, you had, when you were gone, and this is still lingering, Dennis, Newmont in GOLD.
Yeah.
I mean, that, look at that.
But they were giving like no premium for that. Like right. They basically were trying to do a take under with Newmont, were they not? The premium that they were offering, potentially offering, wasn't very good, I think.
Right, and that's why they turned it down. You got the nice pop off it. Not quite back to the area. Well, I guess you could call it the area of origin before the rumors started, then it came back. But we'll see if anything transpires with that deal.
Let's go to the earnings parade here. It is retail earnings season. We did get a lot of retailers reporting, and I want to go to the ones this morning here because there's some big moves here. Abercrombie & Fitch, it's up 11% here. It's trading up $2.43 in the pre-market. Let's start with that one because this is a big move and people leaning the wrong way because it was actually down for 3 days heading into this report. And they came out and must have said something okay.
They did. They did. Q4 adjusted EPS, $1.35 versus $1.15 estimate. So a nice beat there. Sales 1.2.
Man, they make money. Stop. $1.35 just in the quarter, right?
Yeah, $1.2 billion in sales versus a $1.13 billion estimate. So they beat both the Q4 numbers. The Q1 guidance that they gave, the sales guidance is going to be flat to up 2% on a year-over-year basis. So good report. I mean, the guidance is not – you know, we can't glean too much from that number, but the adjusted EPS on the sales for Q4 was good.
But $1.35, this would be from the first quarter. This is like, I'm just doing a quick math on this thing. Like, what is this thing trading with a PE of 4 or 5 then? I've had $1.35 in the quarter. Or was that their big quarter?
Remember, it's the holiday quarter. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, was it? Yeah, it would be, obviously. It'd be the holiday quarter. So that would be their big quarter. So they're not going to be making all that all the time. Okay, gotcha. So it's not like you can multiply that by 4. That was the holiday quarter. It feels like March. It feels like the holidays were so long ago and we're still hearing holiday quarter numbers. I guess this is late in the earnings season, though. So that's why you get these retailers that are late. So keep that in mind. But I know the PE before was saying it was 29. That's not going to be the case here anymore. It's obviously less than that. But nice pop here for Abercrombie & Fitch.
Yeah, for me, the food. 24.67. That was your high on August 30th, and then you had a big gap down day on it. So if you're just looking for a continued rally here, that would be my target, 24.67. Your current pre-market high stands at 23.87, so I'm not sure if you got someone congregating at $24 or not. We'll just see if there's kind of had a mixed scenario yesterday with Target. Target never hit that 77.50 during the regular session, whereas Kohl's got up and beyond that pre-market high and actually did a little bit better filling the gap. So we'll see what happens on this one. A little bit opposite. I mean, that's a big windfall for people that are long. Let's call the pre-market high resistance for now 23.87.
Jump over to another retail reporting. Actually, they're all pretty good here this morning. Dollar Tree getting a big lift as well. DLTR trading up 5% in the pre-market. Again, this one wasn't really rallying into it, but it is now taking out the huge psychological $100 level here, at least in the pre-market. Spencer, how'd they do?
Yeah, the Q4 EPS was just better than estimates there. They beat by a penny, $1.93 versus $1.92. Sales was a slight beat also, 6.21 versus $6.19 billion. So very slight beats for the Q4 EPS and sales. They gave guidance as well. The Q1 EPS guidance was light, which is interesting. It was light by about 15 cents or so. A buck 10 was the median of the range they gave versus a buck 30 cent estimate. The really? Sale, the sales guidance for the for Q1 also, that was more in line. Fiscal year EPS guidance was light, and the fiscal year sales guidance was a smidge light. So mostly light. Mostly
usually
light
when
guidance.
The guidance is light, it's not good for the stock, but apparently in this case it is. So, I mean, this is the difficult thing. And let's just, you know, call a spade a spade. Sometimes it's very difficult to, you know, even if you had inside information and you had, like, you know, let's say you were, you know, a dirty insider and you had the numbers before, you know, the report comes out and you're going to trade on that information. In some cases, it's not clear cut whether that's going to go up or down on that information. I mean, obviously, you know, if it's a flat out mess and a big mess, it's going to go down. But these wishy-washy numbers were okay, whether you beat the quarter of the guidance is kind of there. I mean, it's a kind of a crapshoot, and it's almost like what day they're reporting on. You know, are they feeling good about retailers today? Or are they feeling bad about retailers today? Sentiment can matter a lot more than the numbers themselves. So I'm not, you know, sitting here and going to be a fundamental analyst and dig into, you know, the details of this report. I'm just going to say the market usually prices how it wants to price it, and today they're liking the Dollar Tree numbers.
You got a nice pop here. Haven't been over $100 in a long time. 102.15 is your pre-market high. I'll just go to my monthlies here. And you had a monthly high at 101.75 back in April. So I'll call 101.75, 102. Pretty good resistance. Also, when you're looking at the dailies here, you did sneak your head over 100 a couple times in February, late February, early March, but didn't hold it for long. So psychologically, I like to see it stay above 100, 101.75, your April high to 102, your pre-market high. To me, that stands as resistance.
Also reporting this morning, we've got BJ Wholesale Club, and it's getting a lift too, although coming off the highs a little bit here now. This is one that the IPO just happened, I believe, last year. Yeah, we go back just over a year ago, I guess, June of 2018. There, I guess it's under a year ago. This was one that was off the board, and then they brought it back on the board. So this was something that, really? You know, yeah, remember BJ? We used to trade this back in the day, BJ's Wholesale, and then they took it private or went off the board. I don't know if it was private or what it was, but it's trading again. So I like it when the stocks trade. I don't like it when they go private because I lose a potential stock to trade. So I was trading this a little bit last night ahead of the report. I got out, though. I wish I would have obviously held it through the report, but usually I don't hold through the report unless I absolutely have to. And there was some, you know, people buying it up a little bit last night. It went up to 27. So I nibbled out or snuck out of my – I didn't have a lot of stock. But BJ here trading up pre-market. Spencer, what are the details?
Not bad. Q4 EPS, 44 cents versus a 36 cent estimate. Sales of 3.42 versus $3.39 billion. So they beat on both. That's not bad. And, you know, like you said, we're bullish all retail today.
Yeah, it's one of those days where they're liking retail, unless you reported last night, because the ones that reported last night are not doing good. So you got punished if you reported last night and you got, you know, you didn't, and you're getting obviously not punished this morning if you reported this morning. Urban Outfitters and Ross Stores both trading down that reported last night. Might as well just do those quickly because I just mentioned them. What are the numbers there for Ross Stores and Urban Outfitters?
All right. Urban reported, let me find the numbers here. Q4 EPS, adjusted EPS, 83 cents versus a 79 cent estimate. Sales of 1.13 versus 1.14. billion dollars, and the raw store number. Let me pull those up here. I've got them somewhere. Q4 EPS was in line at $1.13. Sales was a slight beat, 4.1 versus 4.05 billion dollars. Raw stores also reported a $2.55 billion buyback, and they're raising their dividend by a smidge.
So they're trying to help it out with the buybacks, but
3 cents.
Market does not respond that well to buybacks anymore, so it's not going to – sometimes they think it's going to cushion the blow if they think they're, you know, disappointing in any way, and they'll announce a buyback. You see companies do that all the time. Oh, we'll do a little buyback with it. It'll help it out. We saw how much that helped GameStop yesterday. So anyways, GameStop, Ross Stores, completely different companies. GameStop's a dog, and Ross Stores is actually pretty good companies here still. But getting hit here this morning, off the lows –
So we got Ross Stores in there, and then the one we were talking about that before was BJ,
Urban Outfitters,
right? And BJ, you actually got 3 stocks in there.
We're putting you in a fast market here.
Today. I know.
Our chartist here is got to keep it straight. So yeah, we got BJ, we got Urban Outfitters, and we got Ross Stores, and we want all the technicals in under 30 seconds.
Okay. Slam, if it gets near anywhere near 29, huge resistance in BJ. I got up there twice and got slammed back down. So looks like the high is in that one. ROST, I have not looked at the chart yet. That is true. Hey, it spiked down, but it's found a nice buyer here just at 91. So there is a buyer here.
A nice buyer as opposed to a mean buyer?
A nice buyer here, 91, trying to bring in stock without lifting offers, just sitting there. So there you go. You got a buyer at 91 in Ross Stores and Urban Outfitters. I guess the whole pizza thing is not working out for them. New low of the move, but I'll keep an eye on this one because you spiked down to 28.30, but you're trying to get back above that low of the move. I still got a little ways to go. Actually, 29.84, the floor of resistance is now going to be a low of the move. But, man, this thing did not pop off, with the market rally, didn't pop off these other retail stocks, and not popping off the report. So nothing looking good here for Urban. So that's my take on that one.
Let's jump over. That's pretty much the bulk of the earnings. No. Amba, I guess we could do that one too.
And cover it. And Neo. I want to do Neo as well. So
I forgot poor Neo. Yeah, Neo.
So let's do Neo.
Let's start with Neo.
Let's do Neo first. So this one got
disaster of the day.
Got some love from 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago, and that was a long time ago because their report yesterday is sort of undoing that. Q4 EPS, they reported a 47-cent loss. Their sales were better than expected, $449 versus $435 million. But the big things that they said were that they are terminating their plan for their Shanghai manufacturing plant, and they are expecting a greater than anticipated sequential decrease in deliveries for the upcoming quarter. So they are not building a new plant, and greater than expected decrease in deliveries, two extremely negative headlines.
Stock getting hit pretty good here, Joel. Can you find some support?
It's awful close to its pre-market low. Your pre-market low comes in at 8:30. I guess to see what happens around $8 here. Gap fill here at 8:22. We're trading above that. Nothing substantial at 8. I'm just thinking if like all these people, they got caught up here in the short before the 60 Minutes report, are going to use this big windfall here to bring it in. I don't expect it like to rally right back up and fill the gap, but a lot of people stuck short on this one. You get several days worth of gains back, so I keep an eye. I mean, you're still hanging out at the pre-market low, but I think once you get close to $8, you'll find some support there in NIO. And this is just another scenario where, it's selling. You're selling when it's going up. You sell at 9. You regret it when it goes to 1060. But one report, all those gains are taken back. So interesting chart on NIO. It was going in opposite directions of Tesla, but now seems to be going in the same direction.
All right. The chat has been buzzing, and the market's been buzzing the media a little bit about this financial transaction tax.
Sure. Talk about it.
Let's just quickly talk this for the next 3-4 minutes here. Came up again yesterday. This has been something that DeFazio has been trying to push for a decade now. Getting some backers here, so that's a little bit concerning. I wrote about this, and I posted the article over there. I wrote it on the tab forum, and you have to have an account to read it there. But I wrote on this back in 2011, and it was DeFazio back then too. And my title of my article was "The Financial Transaction Tax Will Punish Main Street, Not Wall Street." And my reasoning behind that is they think, okay, well, it's all these high-frequency traders, and it's all these, algorithmic traders and the short-term traders that we need to punish. And why not punish them and stop them from trading by, proposing a transaction tax? And my argument is they're still going to be high-frequency trading. They're still going to be algorithmic trading. They're still going to be market makers, and probably some of them are going to get exemptions because you still have to have liquidity out there. But the spreads are going to get wider. And when the spreads get wider, because you're not going to have as many market participants being able to quote because it's not going to be profitable, if the spreads get wider, that's going to punish Main Street because we know who's paying the spread. It's you and me and Joe, trader or investor. So wider spreads is not good for the little guy. And that's what they don't consider. And that's all about liquidity. So when you come in and you tax transactions, market makers that don't have an exemption are going to have to widen their spreads to remain profitable. So yes, you may reduce some algorithmic trading, but it's just going to get wider. It's still going to be there. So what you're trying to do here by stopping, if you think you're stopping high frequency trading by doing this, you're wrong. It's going to reduce liquidity. And in that way, it's going to reduce liquidity for everyone. And the little guy is going to pay a wider spread. So this is, you know, a terrible proposal. People don't know what they're doing that are proposing stuff like this. They don't understand basic market mechanics. And reducing liquidity in anything is never a good idea.
All right. That was...
What's your thoughts on this, Joel? I mean, you got...
They
proposed... It's been all over the place. I mean, yeah, when I wrote this article back, it was supposed to be 0.03%. Now they're talking 0.1%, even jacking it up even more. But when you start adding this up, and Eric Hunsader makes a pretty good point too. We already have a transaction. If you're listening, Eric, we know we still love you over at Nanix. You've been really busy lately. We want to get you back on our show. They kind of already do have a small transaction tax. That's the SEC fees. I mean, when you sell a stock, there is a fee involved that goes to the SEC. And that's what keeps the SEC obviously running, is those fees. So there is already a slight small transaction tax. When you start talking 0.1%, that's significant. That's killing, the margins of a lot of, individual traders. That's killing the margins of any scalpers. And they're going to have to widen their spreads in order to stay in business. So that's the concern here, is that basic market making mechanics are going to tell you it's going to reduce liquidity significantly. And that's not good for the little guy.
Bob Fenucci's saying he'll trade less if this happens.
Everybody will trade less. Trade less. Everybody who's listening on our show is going to trade less. I mean, you're going to have to... you're going to all become wide swing traders, and you're going to have to be going for a lot more than I won't be jumping. I jump into trades if I can make 0.1%. Well, now it's going to cost me 0.1% in and 0.1% out. So 0.2%, if that's what they're talking about. Maybe they only put it on one side, but regardless, if it's 0.1%, that's going to stop a lot of individual traders from providing liquidity in certain situations. Spreads will widen if that happens, and I don't think anybody wants wider spreads.
No. You're the market structure expert on this one. You've been writing about following this stuff for a long time. So,
yeah, it's DeFazio is always the one that's trying to push this through, because I can look at my article from 2011. I'll just read you a piece of the beginning of it.
Sure.
It says Republican Peter DeFazio is at it again. This was in 2011 because he had proposed back in 2009. So it's been going on for a decade. DeFazio. Will be introducing a bill to propose a tax on financial transactions. Argument. He actually tried a couple of years ago, but the proposal never gained much traction. European Union. We know the EU has, done some stuff with financial trading. We know over in Britain or in London, they've done some stuff like this too. And like Eric Hunsader says, we do have a small transaction tax already in the form of the SEC fees that we pay on every individual stock sale. So, but at 0.1%, that's getting extreme. I mean, it's just too high. And obviously, any numbers that they propose, and they say, when they propose a bill like this, they say, here's the volumes. If we do 0.1%, look at all the money we're making. But they're not considering the volumes are going to go way down. So you can't base it on that, because there's going to be a lot less trading going on. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Understand what I'm saying? Numbers, there's no doubt the trading volumes here, they're saying
it's more
high frequency trading, yet when they're basing their numbers, they're doing it on the current numbers. Well, if you're curbing it, it means it's going to go down. There's not gonna be as much trading going on, so you're not going to have those kind of numbers. This is just idiotic. That's the bottom line, is something like this hurts everyone. It doesn't, if you're concerned about high frequency trading, if you're concerned about algorithmic trading, there's different ways to go about things. But putting a transaction tax on isn't going to hit the individuals you want to hit. It's going to hit the little guy, because it's going to be wider spreads.
It doesn't make sense. I think this is, it comes up every once in a while and then it goes away.
And Jimmy A making a good point here. Jimmy A in the chat, we love you, Jimmy A. Good point. Virtu Financial, your biggest high frequency trader, which is publicly traded, went down nothing yesterday on this. So that's how much, the market thinks that this is going to go through. They didn't even hit BIRT at all. Maybe they hit it if it gets a little bit more traction. But again, there's probably going to be some exemptions out there too. So it would really suck if they don't exempt the little guy, but they exempt all the big market makers. So, I mean, then you look at, and who are you really punishing then? You're definitely punishing the little guy then. So, because then it's just the little guy paying the tax. So, I mean, any type of proposal here, I would hope that wouldn't come with exemptions. And if it did, and you're just going to punish the little guy and you're going to exempt the big market makers like Virtue and Citadel, I mean, what's the point to that then? So I highly doubt this gets through.
Yeah, I agree. We hear it coming up and it goes away. GE continues to tumble here.
I messed up big time with my cover at 6:45 this morning. I covered at 9:63 and 9:69. I just looked at them. And now it's 9:33. So what's the headline? There was some analyst commentary. Is there another headline?
Yep, there is. Go ahead.
What do we got?
Yeah, Culp came out and said they'll have negative free cash flow this year. I don't know. I don't know what people were expecting. Did you expect that they were going to turn around like tomorrow?
We said it on the show. We said it when I came back in a few days ago. I said I think the GE top is in, and that was when the blow off top to that 1175 high. And if you rewind the show to like 3 or 4 days ago, and when it was initial when I came back, like Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, you said it.
I said I think we're eventually going back under $10, and I think the high is in. 4 days later, we're 9:33. So we don't get everything right. We got this one. So I've actually been pretty good on GE. Maybe it's because I trade it every day and I get a pretty good feel because I was on the 666 low and obviously after the fact, but
it was pretty close to it. It was pretty close. And Dennis mentions this 1175 high, and I just got to bring this up. We talked about a little of this on the pre-market show. Your charts are not going to reflect that. Your charts are going to reflect 1129 is the high of the move. And actually, Dennis, that day it went up. It traded over $12 briefly. And
was that in the regular session?
No, in the pre-market. And I was thinking, oh, man, if this thing sees 12 in the regular session, never did. But they did a 104 for 100 stock split because of some kind of offering. So it's not 1175 anymore. The high of the move is 1129 due to that adjusted stock split. So I didn't fully understand it. They did it. It changed the price on my charts, and that's what we were looking at. 1129 was the high. Let's see. We got a long way to go to fill the second gap down at 892. But shoot, we're working our way there. Maybe not today. But a gap fill from the good news at the end of January, I think that was earnings. But definitely big volume. GE giving up a lot of gains.
I don't want to own this. I'd sell of all rallies in GE.
Okay.
Top is in. I'm going to stay with the top is in.
Okay. DG Euphoria. Does NIO touch 714, the 20-day low today? Conference call.
What stock? What are you talking
about? NIO.
I'll go back to NIO.
I don't think it's going to see 714 today.
No, I don't think so. That's a long ways to go. I think you're going to find some buyers in the $8 area because old resistance becomes new support. So November and December, he had multiple highs just above $8. He broke out really just from around the $8 area back on the 22nd of January here. I think you find some buyers in the $8 area, but I'm not coming in here and picking the bottom on this either.
I know I'm digressing here a lot, but Mongo Trader wants us to get the Tesla rant guy we had a few months ago. And because he was so bearish Tesla.
Oh,
remember
Gordon.
We had
Gordon. Was that?
Gordon. That was Gordon.
Gordon!
Gordon's awesome.
Yeah.
Gordon, yeah. You know how Gordon is.
he doesn't mince words.
No, he does not.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. What are we doing? We're blasting off on the S&Ps right now. What's going on? I don't know, man. Talk to me.
Michael Pollini says that the pre-market is quiet, and then we dip down to 83.
We just rallied four handles. Not that that's a blast off, but it is. And this market has been so quiet as of late. What's up? Talk to me.
Yeah, no, I'm seeing a headline about the trade balance being greater than expected, but I don't see any economic data that have come out in the past few minutes here. I'm looking.
We're just shopping around. Shop fast.
I'm looking. All right, it's 8:34. Let's take a quick break and grab today's guest, Rachel Shasha, options trader, sassyoptions.com. We'll be right back in a moment here with Rachel. All right, welcome back, everyone. Pre-market prep, Spencer Israel, Joel Elkana, Dennis Dick. We are having a hard time locating Rachel Shasha. So I'm going to try her in the background here, but I really hope we can get around to talk about her call in PLCE. In the meantime, though, let's move on to some other movers of the morning. I want to start with Zayo. They pulled the old strategic alternatives trick, which is what they announced they were doing this morning. The board said they are evaluating strategic alternatives, and the stock, as you would expect, popped on that headline.
Can I just say the overall strategy, I feel like when you hear the strategic alternatives word is sell. You get these 10, 11% pop here in ZAYO, ZAYO, as we say in Canada. You know, and you're never going to get a perfect, but I feel like if you're long the stock and you get, you know, strategic alternatives coming at you, it seems like more often than not, those are good opportunities to get the hell out. And this is a stock that has not performed great. I mean, it's given, it's, you know, here's your February. It's given back, you know, basically all of its, you know, well, not all of its gains from January because it was, you know, down at $20, but it's given back a significant amount. Now you come right back up there. You get anywhere up near that $28 area. I think this is a sell. So yes, you know, sometimes these strategic alternatives turn into stuff, but a lot of times they turn into a hell of a lot of nothing. And the market seems to love that buzzword, strategic alternatives, and they really reward it. And I think this is just an opportunity. I don't follow the story at all in the stock, and you know, maybe it materializes into something. I'm just saying overall, when you see something come out with strategic alternatives, it seems like it's usually a pretty good selling opportunity. If the stock pops significantly, that
is. It does, and it's moving up here. You're finding some resistance. No, you're not finding any resistance yet. You're trying to get the highs of the pre-market session, 27.15. And I know you mentioned 28, Dennis. 28.32 was your high back on January 23rd, so that could be a real nice target for somebody. Just ahead of that area, though, I'm seeing a pair of highs, man. I'm seeing a lot of highs in the upper 27 handle. So I don't know if we can get to 28.32, but just go look at your dailies, 27.88, 82, 56, 60, 70. A lot of resistance there. So let's see what happens in the upper 28s. Of course, if you're buying this based on this news, you want to hear what those strategic alternatives are pretty quickly, or else Dennis talks about how a lot of times you get a fade.
And sometimes it takes a day or two. Yep. I feel like I'm going to say it again. I think when we look at the stock a month from now, I think it's going to be back down to 24, 25 area. Unless something materializes. At the odd time, they do materialize into something, and maybe strategic alternatives are they sell something or spin something off, or, you know, try to sell themselves. You know, there's different ways, but it just seems like this is like a buzzword that pops the stocks, and a lot of times it turns into a hell of a lot of nothing. So anyway, that's my rant on strategic alternatives.
There you go. I like that rant. I'm in agreement here. Still pressing higher, though. Someone likes it, pressing it high. It's interesting. Strategic alternatives after you make a new low. No, you were down lower in January, but you took out the monthly low at 24.75, go to 24.20 and turn around. So we'll see how high the buyers can press that until they find some
lots of buyers in here, though, in the book. So I don't think this is going to be a thing that turns around just like this today, although some of those buyers just got hit at 27.10. I see 27.05, 25,000. There was 25,000 bidding at 27.10, but they just whacked out like 20,000 of it. So it's down to 7,500. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, and I'm not, you know, yelling out to all the day traders, oh, this is going to go back to $24 a day. I'm saying in 1 month, I think this thing could be back down. So sometimes, you know, these things can stay up for a couple of days. Sometimes they materialize into something and go higher. But as traders, we always just live in probabilities. And I think there's a better probability that this thing gives a lot of this move back than it continues to rise from here.
What, you want to look at a horrible chart? I love charts. CVS.
I've not looked at the CVS chart in a long time, but that is a horrible, that is the definition. That's like a textbook definition. If we open up the text, the dictionary, and we say horrible chart, and we open it up, it would have a picture of this chart there. That is a horrible chart. What's going on? Is CVS going out of business? What's happening? Is this Amazon? What's up? Talk to me. WBA doesn't look any good either. Are these Amazon? Sup, Spencer Israel.
This end of merger, I guess, isn't working out quite the way they had hoped.
WBA doesn't look any good either. Look at Walgreens Boots.
Yeah,
it's ugly too.
I know. That's what I was going to say. I think part of it is just secular weakness in healthcare names. You know, we had that, what was it, the congressional hearing, last week or the week before, about drug pricing. I think the whole sector
anecdotally seems weak to me. I don't know if it's specific to CVS right now, but I don't have any.
And Amazon's coming for them too. We've been saying this for a long time. That's why I don't own CVS and WBA in my portfolio. I've talked about this multiple times in the show in the last couple of years and probably been wrong a lot about it because CVS has had some rallies and WBA has had some rallies. But I never liked the fact that, you know, eventually you're going to be able to buy, you know, a lot of stuff. And we know Amazon's going to get into selling drugs as well. So I just think that writing's on the wall. And I think, you know, long term, it doesn't bode well for these companies. So I'm not coming in CVS and saying, oh, this is dirt cheap. Can it bounce from here? Sure. It's down a long ways. And especially in the last month, I mean, $70 down to 55. It's going to bounce here eventually. But I just think, you know, you back up in the 60s. I think it's a good selling opportunity here too. These are two stocks I'm not interested in because I don't like when Amazon's going to be coming after you.
What's up with the Amazon, JP Morgan? You know, they were coming up with the help. Was it health insurance? Yeah, what was
Berkshire Hathaway too?
In Berkshire Hathaway. Yeah, you haven't heard too much about that as of late, but it was earnings that got this one. I remember looking at the chart with someone at this a week ago or so, and I thought, well, maybe it could get to 56.32 and maybe it'll find some support there because it was a monthly low from 2013. It took that out. If you really want to try and find the level here, 53.94, that was your April of 2013 low. If you're looking at this from like a volume standpoint, man, oh man, you had big volume. You've been having a big volume and just on all these down days too. So maybe everyone's not out of the stock yet. The best you can hope for is, you know, you put a little double bottom is, I don't know where that's going to be. Then the sellers kind of trickle and go away, and then you get some kind of relief rally. But as of right now, 54.37, I guess that's kind of close to that 2013 low at 53.94. But after that, it drops off another $3 to 50.88. So, and how many down days in a row is this for it since its earnings report? 9 of 10 down days for this one. So yeah, it'll eventually break that trend, but we'll see. I'll be more comfortable to wait for a double bottom or something like that to be in place.
Dennis, you teased one opening imbalance. Can you get the rest of them for us if they're notable?
Yeah, there's some notable ones, some working against me here too on some smaller stocks. Oh, but anyways, Conagra, CAG, 133,000 to buy. That is notable. Bank America, 264,000 to sell. Procter Gamble, 50,000 to sell. Coca-Cola, 54,000 to sell. Oracle, 74,000 to sell. General Electric, 1 million to sell. We know that's, you know, the Tulsa comments here, obviously still bearish there over at JP Morgan. We should just quickly talk about that because we glanced over it, but we didn't really dive into it. And I think everybody's talking about that this morning. It looks like Tusa put the $6 price target on GE and says that looks generous. So that's the main thing. GE issues seem to stretch in 2021 a whole new level, says Tusa. So he's saying major problems at GE. And we know he's been one of the major bears there. So the bearish camp continues there for, obviously, for GE.
And we had John Inch on Monday, and he wasn't exactly.
Yeah, if you're listening to pre-market prep on Monday, you'd be ahead of this trade.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of reiterated some of the information he had given us before, but, you know, he definitely, you know, thought that, you know, the stance, the liquidity crisis wasn't over. They weren't turning around. And then lo and behold, a couple days later, they come out and say this exact same thing. If anybody's looking at Danaher, the company that benefited from the GE sale, you had the gap and go another gap, make a new all-time high. But it looks like it might be getting a little tired here. I'd keep an eye on 125. There's a pair of lows from the last two sessions right there. So if you're trying to protect some profits here in DHR, take a look at that chart, look at the gaps beneath, and keep an eye on 125.
We do have, speaking of the JP Morgan comments on GE, we do have some interesting ratings today. We can go to those here. Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs being particularly active at least they caught my eye this morning. Mylan is being upgraded to overweight at Morgan Stanley, Mylan Labs. This isn't the first recent upgrade I feel like we've seen to Mylan. Maybe it is, but
that 26 level on this thing is absolutely that's the level. I mean, that's just a hard level. I don't know who's buying there, but obviously somebody as big as buying there. I mean, when you see it that defined, 2603, 2609, it's almost always some institutions just buying everything when it gets to that level. Got down there again, 26 right on the kisser the next day, 2605. That's the level. I mean, that's just a huge buying opportunity every time it seems to get down there. So 26 continues to be the buying opportunity. As you get up here now you're 2 points off the level. It gets trickier. You got room to 30, but you're kind of in the middle of nowhere here.
Spotty trading here, up 71 cents. Let me see what the volume is here. Not a ton of volume, but the market is respecting this move. I think the point of interest today and also moving forward would be 29.08. The gap down on earnings day and went lower to test that $26 level. Actually, on that day, it hit 26 even and then 26.05. So nice double bottom there. Dennis mentioned above 29.06, then you get into the gap area. But I think it's going to take a little bit more than one little upgrade here to get that in the gap here. But nice windfall if you were leading on that 26 low.
Morgan Stanley is also upgrading Echo Global, ECHO, to equal weight here. And they're downgrading Teva Pharmaceuticals to equal weight, to their version of neutral.
Echo's small, no sense covering that. But let's go to Teva, T-E-V-A. That is trading down just, 1% here. One thing to consider is that Teva obviously is trading as an ADR and it's trading actively over in Europe already. So, it's the price discovery has already kind of happened in this. And that's one thing, when you've got these stocks that are ADRs are trading over in Europe, they've already, they're already trading over there. They've been trading over there for hours. The markets are open over there. So it's not like, okay, we got to figure out where this wants to go. It's already gone to where it wants to go. It's already a 1 cent market, 1650 or 1650 to 52, trading at 1651. It's where it wants to go on this news.
Ah, boy, oh boy, oh boy, boy. This thing from earnings. I wonder if I know this wasn't Buffett's pick here, but boy, oh boy, this one has been under pressure. Monthly lows come in that area as well. Oh no, the monthly lows at 1520 from January here. So taking out the monthly low, not quite yet. Yesterday's low was kind of a spike low. So we'll see what happens at 1618. But the real long-term support that comes into this one, wow, this thing got down to 1459 in December. 1520 was the low, but boy, straight down from 20. Pre-market low stands at 1641. So not moving a whole lot. And we have not taken out yesterday's low.
Goldman Sachs acted this morning as well. A couple of big downgrades from them. They're downgrading Burberry Group. That's an OTC stock to sell. Also, VMware downgraded to sell.
That's the one. And they VMware, this is getting hit hard on this. So when GS goes to sell on something, everybody takes note. You're down 5 points on this. So this is big news here for VMware. It's a stock that obviously has been on a hell of a run, going from $130 to over $180. And now, obviously, hindsight's 2020. It looks like the top is in because now you're down 167. You're significantly off that high that you were at 3 days ago. And GS ganging up on you. If you're coming here selling it now, you're kind of, I guess, late to the party. But there's still, it had a hell of a run. So there's a lot of air below. There's air to 150. But there's also air up here too. So again, you're in a trade here now where you're kind of in the middle of nowhere. This is just, when I'm trading, I like to swing at, pitches that they're throwing up the middle. This is like trying to hit a curveball. And, you don't know where this is. 167, it could rally, market could turn around, get back up to 180. This could just follow through and go down to 150. I mean, this is just, in the middle of nowhere. Really, really difficult to call it from this point. So I think if you're trying to trade this here, you're trying to hit a curveball.
I think you're trying to look for some daily lows here, and the next daily low, let's say you have a short here, you want to bring it in. You did have a low at 167.12. You seem to find a buyer right now at this point at 167 even. So it does coincide with a daily low. If you're looking for a little bit more than that on the downside, you got a little over a buck drop to 165.93. But just keep in mind, if you're buying this for a scalp or a swing trade, you're competing against all these people that basically bought this thing anywhere in January from 146, 147, all the people that bought it from there until the middle of February are still at a profit here. So keep that in mind if you're just buying the dip on this one.
Do we think that Goldman is maybe feeling, the analysts at Goldman are feeling antsy this morning because of the new relaxed dress code?
Oh, I knew you were
going to
bring that
up. What's this all about?
I couldn't help myself. Yeah, company-wide memo. They're relaxing the dress code. Suit and tie is optional.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at this. Goldman going casual.
Bringing it back to the ratings here, Goldman's also downgrading Pivotal software to neutral. They lower their price target by a whole dollar, 25 to 24. But PVTL catching a downgrade as well from Goldman.
Yeah. And if you're looking at this saying, oh, it's not having much influence, well, you're not looking at the current market because it hasn't traded here this morning, but it's offered at 21 for 5,000 shares. 21.84 is a close. So this is opening in the 20 handle. Sorry to be, you know, the bearer of bad news if you're long, but this is going to probably open down on the 20 handle here this morning. So it is going to get hit on this. PVTL, I'd say 20 bucks even, you know, big psychological. Let's see what it does there. But it's going to be an ugly day here for Pivotal, despite it not trading yet.
Oh, and they were, whoo, man, selling had been going on the last couple days in this one as well. And coming off the high. You said it's offered at 21 right now? And no
one's 5,000 shares. Nobody's even sniffing that. I mean, you got downgraded. Is it downgrade to sell or downgrade neutral?
Neutral.
That's the difference.
Neutral.
Okay, so not as bad as a sell, like in the VMware case, but it's still going to get hit here. And I mean, you look at the chart on PBTL, and here's another one that you probably got a few people caught long because I'm down for five straight days. So maybe get the washout day today on this downgrade, and maybe it washes down. Maybe it's, you know, hit some stops under 20. I think it could go under 20, though, today.
If you're looking for that, 2013, February 21st low, and if you're looking under 20, 1956 could be a nice target. That's that traded as low as that on February 20th, but big offer there at 21, trying to spook the market. We'll see, and that was the area of an old double bottom too. So someone wants out, they want out fast. Keep an eye on your daily lows. Let's see, what else do we have here?
WDC, T-Mac wants to know. I still have WDC long. I bought it when he was one of Sean Udall's picks there back at $35, $36. I think I bought it like $36.50. I sold half of it on the spike up to like $46.47, and I never got back in the others. And I'm still in the other part of the position there. Still holding on here. I still think semis have a little more room to run. They're back in favor here now. Obviously, this was a stock that was over $100 back in, you know, beginning of 2018. It's not getting back there, but I think there's room to 60. So I'm holding on here still on WDC with, you know, my target being more on the higher 59s. Huh? But I have taken some of the money off the table.
Okay. Good trade there, man. Keep it going. S&Ps are starting to rally back a little bit here, down 350. Das, we had a question. Was there any imbalances in SQ today?
17,000 a sell. SQ had a decent bounce back day yesterday. So that gets interesting now. So, you know, if I was trying, you know, to say, okay, I think, you know, this is, I want to be in square, I'd probably lean on the low of the move, which is 73.05. So you got to give it a little room. You're 75.90 here this morning. But if you get in the 74 handle, then it doesn't feel as, you know, like 74.80, 74.90. Then you're not leaning as far. So I kind of like square on pullbacks here as long as it doesn't take the low of the move. Takes out the low of the move, and I would want to get up.
All right.
Other imbalances. It's now 1 point, man. I should have slept in this morning. Oh, this GE God. Is killing me. Killing me. Anyways, it's now 1.9 million to sell. It's down at 918. It's down 71 cents. I shorted it last night, just out the close at 988. And I covered 969 and 963. And the scalper blood me killing me here. If I would have just slept in a little bit more or slept until 929 like I used to do back in 1999, I would be making a lot more money. So that's the moral of the story for day for me today is I should have slept in.
Okay. Oh,
what about you know, sometimes you make money and it's when you leave that much money on the table, it's almost like a losing trade. And that's what I've done here on GE. I mean, GE 20 cent move is usually pretty good for GE. You think, oh, that's a pretty decent size move. Not today. That is a huge move here. This thing's going under $9 today, maybe, potentially.
Yeah, and but talking about the gap fill here, and that would take, I don't know if you're going to see that today here. That gap
I'm
fill.
I'm a seller of all rallies.
892. I'd
probably get back up near the 10, you know, over the next, yeah, you know, you would get another shot to sell it short. So, because I think the path of least resistance now for GE is a hell of a lot lower. I'm not coming in here and buy 921 saying we're going to get back up there. I'm saying if it got back up there, that would be the opportunity to short it. Right now, I don't see much opportunity because I personally think it's going lower. I just want to bounce to sell.
Average Boy mentioned a stock here. What do you guys think of here? H-E-A-R, E-Trade analysts love it. Strong buy with a target of $29.50. This is the company that makes the headphones, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Are they using headphones on that new EA game? Do they use the headphones? Yeah. I guess they use them on all those headsets.
You have to, yeah. That's kind of the
point. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's not a company I've sat down, done, and crunched any numbers with, so I just got to talk from a technical perspective.
Yep.
Maybe I should sit talk a fundamental perspective, but it's been holding up. Even the last couple of days, not going down with the market turnaround, started getting a little bit weaker, so I don't mind it here. I think, you know, if it started to cut down through $14, I wouldn't want to own it, but you could take a shot. It's not like the best looking chair in the world, but it looks okay.
And let's see here, boy, it had that big run up and the pullback. I would just keep an eye on the 1650 area. If you don't want to try and buy it on weakness, but you want to buy it on strength, you have a couple highs. It's just called 1650. Your resistance area, so above 1650, you got some room to go on the upside. And wow, this thing bottomed at $2 and then went to 34, so it had a 32 point move. 16, it's through the 50% area of this no, it's not quite, it needs to get up to 18. Above 1650 really is the only thing I can give you. It looks like you have some opening to the upside. Don't know what how E-Trade is on the stock, though.
What about Tesla? We didn't give it any love. It went all the way down to 270 yesterday before bouncing. A little bit of light here this morning. It's trading up a buck. I like the 250 area. Get back down there, I might take a shot on this thing long. 277, maybe you're a little bit early, but it is kind of due for a bounce. It's been down so much. We said it yesterday when it was trading like 280. We're like, eventually it's going to get a bounce. It did at 270. You know, you're 277, so maybe you had a little 7-8 point bounce. It's obviously still got a lot of issues. I almost feel like it's gone far enough that it probably maybe eventually wants to test the 250, 260. So I'm hoping it gets back down there to try from the long side, but they got some issues here too. So we know that, and it's, you know, lowering the pricing, and obviously the market did not applaud what that big news release was from Musk.
Yeah. Okay.
And also remember that they're announcing the Model Y on the 14th. And so there's tends to be buzz around the new model announcements. So look, don't forget about that happening in a couple of weeks here, or I guess in a week. So that'll be the biggest headline for Tesla here going forward, at least in the short term. But in the meantime, that'll do it for today's show. We're going to, looks like, get Rachel Shasha on tomorrow or Friday's show. But thanks to everyone who joined us in our chats, both on YouTube and premarket.bensinger.com. Please remember, all the information from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. If you missed any part of today's show, catch our podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts, or just watch us on, again, on youtube.com/BenzingerTV. Hope everyone has a good rest of your day, and we will see you on Thursday.